Let's pray. Father, as over the next few weeks we talk about being empowered, the reality of being empowered by the Almighty God of the universe, God, help us to understand who we really are and what were we created for, so that we can join the stars and the whales and all of creation to sing and to lift your name on high, so that, God, we can fulfill our divine purpose. It's not for our kingdom to be developed, but it's your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, just speak through me this morning, I pray. Holy Spirit, have your way. And most of all, as the scriptures are being read, I pray, Father, that it penetrates even unto our spirit, so that we come away understanding more of who you are. And as importantly now, this Kairos time, understanding who we are in Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Ed, for sharing that video. I had never seen that before, but it just blew me away. Because that's what God hears. Every one of your prayers. How can he do that? He's God. He's everywhere. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He hears you. He hears you. He hears you. So my question today is, given all this information, do you live expectantly? Not just for the sweet by and by, but do you live daily, the next moment, the next breath, expectantly of what God may want to do? Remember, we're out of the way. We've died. We're in the background. We're just a vessel. We're carrying the presence of God with us, right? We're carrying his faith in us. And our role is to be yielded and release it. Release our faith. Release the love. Release the joy. Release the peace, right? Isn't that what the Holy Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We're to release kindness. That's why Christians should look different than the world. Because when you walk out in the world, you're not seeing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You're seeing exactly the opposite. So how can you tell we're Christians? By our love. I would add by our joy. I would add by our peace. So when you look at another Christian, is that what you see? Is that what you hear? I've never heard that before, but now my ears are opened. I'm more sensitive to nature now. If I'm sitting on my back porch, just listening to the sounds of heaven. Because God created all that too. I better stick to the scripture. We're never going to get done today. It's just that just inspired me. It really did. We have to develop, and it's a perfect lead-in for that, an appetite for the supernatural. We're not natural beings anymore when we accept Jesus Christ into our heart. We become supernatural beings. Oh, yes, these bodies are going back to the dust, but we're not who we really are. We're spiritual beings, given a carcass, a body. The Bible calls it a sark sack, a tabernacle, a temporary tabernacle where God can come through whatever he's given you. But in forever, you shed this thing, thank God, because it's not adequate enough to make it up in heaven. Especially if you're going to be transported here and there and all over the place and we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. I don't know how it all works, but I know that this won't cut it. Right? We need to develop an appetite for the supernatural, for the Bible declares that this is the norm. This is the normal for Holy Spirit-filled believers. I'm tired of having only a knowledge of what's possible without experiencing the fruit of an empowered Christian life. That's the vision of this church. No more norm, no more walking in the dirt, although we will physically walk in the dirt, but experiencing what Christ is in us. 1 Corinthians 4:20. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God, and it's what? When was the kingdom of God planted in the earth? When Jesus was. He came down, and the seed came down to the earth. Kaylee talked about it in communion. He was crushed, and he was buried. And then the seed grew, and it sprouted, and he went to heaven and went to the Father and said, Now, Father, I want all those who believe in me to be with me. I want them to be with me. And I've not left one of them astray whom thou hast given unto me. Right? And if you've professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're His. You're kingdom bound. But you're left here for a little while. And God says, I'm leaving you there so that the world who does not know Jesus will see me through you. You are a mirror. You are an ambassador. You are a child of God, filled with His presence, filled with His giftings, filled with His faith. And as Bert has preached many a time, we've got to release it. We've just got to release it. We've got to believe and receive, even if you don't see it. Because we don't see, this is temporal. This is, you know, taste, touch, smell, all that good stuff. 3D, if you will, three-dimensional. Scientists even know there's 9 to 10 dimensions, at least 11 dimensions. That's why Jesus could, when he was glorified, could go through the wall and see the disciples, because he wasn't bound by our materialism. Amen. And so we, as functioning physical human beings, have an immaterial spiritual God who came in the flesh to exhibit what he could do in the physical. He was not bound by Satan trying to limit him, because he had and he utilized the faith and the Holy Spirit that God placed within him as a man. We know that Jesus came from heaven to earth and lived as a man to be an example of how to flow in the power of the Holy Spirit, because he himself was baptized. And it says the Spirit came on him, what? Like a dove. And it settled upon him, and then he was empowered for ministry. Up until that point, he lived like you and I. He was a carpenter. He didn't live like you and I. He never sinned. And we know that. Read Acts 22. It's 2:22. It's actually chapter 2, verse 22. It said this, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you. A man. He was fully God, but yet he made himself to be fully man so that he'd be an example to us. Attested to you by God with what? He was a man, but he was miracles and wonders and signs followed him, which God performed how? Through him, in your midst, just as you yourselves know. Jesus became a model for us to see what God the Father could do what? Through men and women in right relationship to him. Through him, now through us. He passed that torch to us. He said, what you see, be. What you see, mimic me, look at me. What I do, I go to the Father, I'm giving it unto you. Now go, you do greater things. Greater meaning multiple more times, because there's more of you. It's the norm. And yet for us today, we don't really see it as a norm. But it can be. Folks, God could destroy the devil with just a word at any time. But we were chosen, we were created actually, to be his delegated authority on earth from the very beginning. He could do it in a word. But instead, what did he do? Let us make man in our image and let him have dominion over what? The earth. And all, I would say, even though it didn't say, spiritual forces that would try to interfere with the earth. Why? Because we got the Godhead on board. And Satan's always been under his feet. Now, if you can get it into your spirit to understand that when you've got the Holy Spirit, he's really, authority-wise, under your feet, then we can begin to release the power that comes with the authority. Because that's what happens. Authority and power go together. But kind of like coming up on New Year's, we talk about exercise. So we need to exercise what Jesus gave us the authority and power to do, right? He gave us bodies to exercise with, and the more we what? Strengthen the muscles, the more what? Power we can generate. Well, the more spiritual muscle that you have, the more you can generate. It works the same way. An illustration in the natural, right into the spiritual. Psalm 115, verse 16. Verse 16. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. Did we just not kind of witness a little bit of that? All the earth is God's, right? But the earth, even the earth, he's given to the sons of men. He says, I'm up here in heaven and I'm doing everything I'm doing right now, but in the meantime, well, I've got my son up here and we're ruling and reigning the universe. We've made you in our image to run the earth. to rule over the earth and all the principalities and powers that are trying to interfere and snatch all of our brothers, potentially brothers and sisters, away from us. This is how things are functioning. This is who he is, who we are. Folks, the devil only gains ground through our agreement with him.
That's right.
Adam and Eve proved that, right?
That's right?
Adam and Eve proved that. They came into agreement with him. Sin came into the world. God, he loved us so much he had to correct it. Because he loved us so much. And to correct it, he sent us son. We're not going to get into all that. We'll do that at Christmas. But he did. He did. So instead, we need to agree with God. Well, how do we do that? We agree with his word. And we watch the Father release his power through us as he did with Jesus. As we agree and by faith receive this in and then get out of the way and let God spontaneously or even non-spontaneously planning it work through you, well, Romans 16, 19, and 20. For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore, I am rejoicing over you, but I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. So there is a little bit of a role we have to play. Because when we do that, the God of peace will soon what? Crush. Kaylee, you talked about it. Have you ever seen a grape being crushed? Well, crushing Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. So when we're walking in that level of godliness and avoiding the wickedness of this world, we gain, that's how you work out. The more you walk in obedience to the Lord, the more you fellowship and become more intimate, the more you exercise your faith, the more spiritual muscle you build up, the more authority and power you have, and then we're going to start seeing those signs and wonders and miracles like Jesus was doing in our own lives. Now, he had the fullness, and we're just knowing in part right now. So remember, we need each other because we're all parts of the whole. And one day we'll see in full and we'll know in full and we'll experience in full, but until that point, we need the body of Christ. All of us together are so much more powerful than being a lone ranger. Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask, even more than you're asking for, and I know that you're all asking for that empowerment, or think, according to the power that works where? Within us. So what do we need to know about ourselves? God lives here in you and in me. To him be the glory in the church. In the church and in Christ Jesus and to all generations forever and ever. And let the whale sing and the stars sing and the trees that are swaying proclaim the glory of the Lord. It's not so far-fetched when you begin to understand that God made it all and that it, you know. He said, let the rocks will even cry out. Well, can you believe a rock can cry out? Not in the natural, you can't. But if you've ever been anywhere in a waterfall or you've any been anywhere out hiking, I know Burton and some of you guys are out there hiking all the time and you hear the waterfall and the rocks falling and rolling and coming down and such like that. It's kind of like we heard the whales and the stars that burst like he's talking about. It speaks to God's glory. It's magnificent if you'll just take the time to appreciate it and look at it and understand it. Now, when it comes to healing or anything supernatural for that matter, simply declaring, I know God can do it. It's not enough. Well, I know God can do it. Have you been up to that person when you need healing or you need just, you got to have a little love or any attribute of God and stuff like that? Well, I really can't give you anything, but God can do it. Really? Is that how God wanted you to function? The devil knows God can do it too. We must experience it. Correct the theology alone won't complete the assignment Jesus gave us 2,000 years ago. God's kingdom consists of power, not just doctrine.
That's right.
God's kingdom power is available now. We're not going to need it when we get to heaven. There's not going to be any sin, sickness, or death to overcome. It's been overcome. It's been done. We're supposed to be exercising what's been done already right here on earth. Mark 16, 15 through 18. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Well, what? That's Exactly what Jesus told us to do. That's going to be a little tough without the next verse. Because it's a crazy, naughty world out there, right? He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those, because we're not going to worry about those who disbelieve, because we're believers. These signs are going to accompany those who believe in my name, not in your strength. Remember, we get out of the way, we die. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The Word of God. A gospel with no power is not really the gospel. Religion idolizes concepts, but it's void of experience. It's void of experience. That's what religion is concepts. Billy Graham, listen, he's my spiritual daddy. Billy Graham is credited with saying 95% of today's church activities would continue if the Holy Spirit were removed from us. That means we're doing it without the Holy Spirit, okay? For those of you who didn't get that part. 95% of today's church activities would continue if the Holy Spirit were removed from us. However, in the early church, 95% of all her activities would have stopped if the Holy Spirit were removed. That's empowerment. That's what we're going after, right? That's the vision of this church, to get back to the early church, to walk in the empowerment that the early disciples walked in, because if it was made available to them, it's made available to us, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's not partial. He shows no partiality. This is who we are. This is who we are. We must depend upon the person. Listen to me now. The Holy Spirit isn't a thing. It's not an influence. The Holy Spirit is the third partner of the Trinity, the triunity of oneness of God. Wow. Just think about that for a second. So we have to depend upon the person of the Holy Spirit and recognize his voice. If he's a person, he speaks. That voice will always agree with Scripture. Yes. The Logos, the written word of God, will always agree with the Rhema, the spoken word of God that speaks through the Scriptures, that speaks to us in our prayer life. God has the ability to communicate with us. If a whale can communicate with another whale, for crying out loud, and the stars can communicate with whales, why should we say we can't hear from God? When we've been created in his image and he lives right in here with us. It's just that we refuse to get that intimate. We refuse to get that close. We refuse to settle down enough to hear the voice, that still small voice. It'll always agree with Scripture, though, that still small voice. We must make room for God to move. It says in the Bible we must pray at all times and ask God if he wants to do something wherever we go. Not everyone you pray for or lay hands on may get healed, but it's not about you. It's making available an opportunity for God to work. And as I said in the funeral, when Daddy walks into the room, he told us to go lay hands on the sick and they'll recover and stuff like that. But if God has other plans for whatever, because he knows everything, when Daddy steps in the room and says, stop, in the spirit realm, to the command you just gave to get that dead person up, Daddy overrules you. When he told Abraham, take the knife and go slay your son, Abraham was being obedient. He was going to go and slay his son. And God said, stop. See, it was up to Abraham to obey. It's up to you to lay hands and do all this stuff. But it's up to God to bring the result however and wherever and whenever he pleases. And that's the sovereignty part of God that doesn't diminish our faith in what we're supposed to do. It just says that when we get the yeses and we get the noes, we got to be okay with both from God. Don't let your faith get rattled because you don't see somebody healed when you lay hands on them. You've been obedient. Praise God. I heard that from Bert last week. That's our job. I shouldn't say our job. It's our ministry. It's what we were created to do. It's not about you. It's about God's availability. We cannot keep telling people about our awesome God without demonstrating his awesome power. Or they're just going to get tired. I'm telling you, they're going to get tired of listening 1 Corinthians 4:20 again. I want you to hear it again. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. The original language says the kingdom of God is not in logos, but in dunamis. The devil has read this thing from front cover to the back cover. But he didn't heed to it. Knowledge simply puffeth up. Paul said, it's not in the persuasiveness of my words, but it's in demonstration of what? Of the power of the Holy Spirit living through me. It shows that I'm yielded. It shows that I've died and I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live and he's living through me. That's what shows when power begins to emanate from us. Because we know now God has taken over. When he takes over in worship, when he takes over in your giving, when he takes over in your daily lifestyles, you know when it's God and when it's you. You can tell. We'll tally up the offering. I'll find out if it was God or you today. No, I'm just kidding. It's just an example, though. It's true, is it not? He's everywhere, and he's in us. And we need to begin to see the demonstration of heaven as on earth, because that's what he gave us a command for. Apparently, they had a lot of teachers back then who were good at speaking many words when they gave this scripture, but displayed little power. Kind of like today. We talk a lot, but we don't see a lot of power. We need the Holy Spirit, because he does move through yielded vessels. Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Guess what? We're being trained to run the family business. Right? I mean, you know, we say Christianese. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. And it is. We get commonplace with it without really realizing you are my sister. You really are my brother, Ken. Really. I mean, really. They're my brothers and sisters. I have natural brothers and sisters, but this too shall pass away. Right? The only reason I'll see them again is if they become my spiritual brother and my spiritual sister. That is what will last. So run the family business correctly. This means it's our responsibility by means of the Holy Spirit, of course, to destroy the works of the devil, such as sickness, oppression, and everything that comes with his kingdom and his bony little finger trying to get in, right? So how do we appropriate, let's finish today with, how do we appropriate and do this, Pastor? I mean, you know, we've been talking about it for 17 years. You know, how do we do this? And this church is already doing it. So don't let me diminish that in any way, shape, or form. We are doing it. But we want to see a greater level. We want to see we just want to keep going up and up and up, right? Soaring on eagle's wings when it comes to this. So how do we do it? Well, I'm just a couple of things here and there from the Bible. Pursue God with reckless abandon. I know that's one way to gain intimacy and for God to be pleased. Pursue him with pray. Be specific with your requests and ask for opportunities. How many of you ask? He says you don't have because you don't. Ask for the opportunities to demonstrate power. We get intimidated because we know we can't do it. And God's going to have to show up or you're going down. Good. Then if it didn't work, you knew you were in the flesh, all right, dust yourself off. First time you fell from a bike didn't mean you would never get up on a bike again or preach to God. If I did it on the first message I ever preached, I probably never would have preached again. Boy, did I start to hang myself. But folks, God does want to work through you. And if you'll yield, be specific, ask for opportunities, fast, study, draw off those that already have the anointing. Obey. Hey. And start with being obedient to the last thing God told you to do. That's a good place to start. Either from his rhema, what you know he spoke to you in your heart and you bear witness to, or from the logos, his written word. There's plenty of things you could get. You have nothing to do, I can give you something to do. I'll give you a chapter to read and then just say, go do it. That'll take a month or so. Why? Because it's just God has given us everything that we need to be successful. He's our daddy. He loves us. And he wouldn't set us up to fail. So start being obedient to that last bit. But what if nothing happens, Pastor? Go back to your knees and pray until something does. If it's not working, just keep praying. Daniel, what, 21 days? He didn't get his answer. And even if it's 21 years, so what? What's 21 years in eternal perspective? Who was the one that was in the with Jesus, was waiting for Jesus when they went and they got him circumcised? Remember? Not Anna, but the one that was waiting all there, or it was the guy? Anyone remember? Yeah, Simeon. He was waiting all his life. He said, I can't pass away till I see the Messiah. I know that's faith. I know he's coming. And I don't want to drop dead. I don't want to be buried. I got to see this sight. God promised to send his Messiah. And I know, just probably he was like the wise man. I know the time. It's close. And I'm getting real old. But I don't want to go yet, God, till I can get my hands on the... And then could you just imagine? He's like holding God. What he must have felt. Take me home, Lord. Take me home. I can leave. I've seen thy salvation. Go to your knees and pray till something does. Folks, the bottom line is we represent him. What does that mean, to represent? Represent him. Represent, represent him. And to represent him to the world without power won't accomplish much. Forgive us, Lord. The power is not to entertain or to show off with. It's redemptive. It brings people to repentance. His power exposes sin. It reveals his glory. And it validates kingdom ministry. And when the church regains its appetite for the impossible, for the appetite for that, here's another observation that I saw. Angels will increase their activities among men. If we get an appetite for the impossible, angels watching over me, remember that? Angels will increase their activities. And how do I know it? Hebrews 1:14. Let's look at Hebrews 1:14. And they are they not? We're talking about angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who are going to inherit salvation? They're on assignment too. We're on assignment. And God's got his army, he's got his angels there to stand on top of that hill. Like when I think, was it Elijah that was the one that was pointing out to Gehazi? Hey, look up on the hill. Because he wasn't worried because all those natural soldiers were up ready to pound him. He looked and said, hey, Gehazi, check out the hill. And he looked up and he said, I don't see anything. He says, come on, look again. And there was an army of angels. And by sheer coincidence, that natural army just ran and fled. Wonder what they saw. The spiritual realm is real, folks. That part of you that God is living and moving and being and having his existence in you is real. And we have to exercise it by faith. We've got to believe that this has been around for 6,000 years, right? From starts of the Old Testament on and stuff. It's inerrant. It has not been proven. It's infallible. Every prophetic word that's ever been spoken has already come to pass. What makes us think the last part of the chapter is going to fail? That's what faith is saying, if God said it, therefore I believe it, and it's done. End story. Scripture says that angels are sent to what? Render us service. Diokonia. The word deacon comes from that. This word means that they minister in divine activity. Not just that, they're not just busybodies. No, not really. They're angel bodies, and they work in divine activity, or we could say the supernatural realm activity. They're working in the supernatural realm through and for you. They don't just minister to you, they help minister for you in things that you could never do in your own strength. And let's not forget that the Bible also says that as Jesus is, what? So are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. By this, love is perfected with us. And love, God is love, right? So that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in heaven. Didn't say that, did it? Are you paying attention? Because as he is, so also are we in this world. Our position, listen, our position in this world is like his exalted position in heaven. He is seated where? At the right hand of the Father, Jesus is. What does the right hand symbolize in Scripture all the time? Power and authority. Jesus is seated in the position of power and authority. He took back what the devil has stolen, and he's commissioned his people, those who believe, with the seal of the Holy Spirit to say, now go and continue and enforce what I have already accomplished. Hallelujah. By faith. You won't see it, but it'll happen in the spirit realm. And once it happens in the spirit realm, it won't take long to get to the physical realm. Maybe 21 days. Maybe longer, maybe less. But by faith, we believe it's done. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. Ours and our position is like His in His exalted position. But God, I love it, being rich in mercy because of His great love in which He's loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us what? Alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. And what did He do to us positionally? Even though we're still in the dirt right now, you're not in heaven with Him. You're not seated with Him right there. Spiritually, though, we have His empowerment. Physically, we're not there yet. But He's raised us up with Him and seated us with Him. It, obviously, that's not in the physical right now. Come on, two common sense that tells you that this is a spiritual meaning we get here. We're seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're seated with Him. We're seated in His authority. We're seated in His power spiritually. And we're carrying it here where we need it. We won't need it once we get to heaven. Our spiritual resurrection occurs immediately at salvation. It puts us in union with Christ. It makes us alive together with Him so that we share His resurrection life and power now. Our physical change, like I said, will come later. But authority and power we receive comes to us now when we actually leave it. And we already know that the Holy Spirit whom the Father has sent to us is a what? A down payment of things to come. A down payment. That means, you know what, when you put a down payment on a house, you know it's yours. But then one day you're fully going to enter into that house and, you know, be able to go over and rule over the whole thing. Well, same with us. Right now we're exercising His power and authority and we're putting out, you know, guerrilla warfare. But when Armageddon comes, Jesus is going to settle it for good. But in the meantime, there's guerrilla warfare, and He sent us on the scene to accomplish that. We're kind of like the what are those elite group in the United States? SEALs. We're like Navy SEALs, Navy whales. We'll call ourselves Navy whales. Forget the SEALs. Whales are better than SEALs. They're bigger, and they sing better. Seriously. Yeah, I know. Keep my day job. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In Him, remember, Ephesians is everything's in Him, because we can't do anything outside of Him. You also, after listening to the message of truth, hopefully you're reading your Bibles, the gospel of your salvation, which will show you who you are, having also believed it, oh, there's where faith comes in, okay, I trust that what He wrote, it's done. You were then sealed in Him, there's that in Him again, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is given as a pledge of what? What's to come? Our inheritance. With a view. We're getting just a view of the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. We're getting a view of things to come. We're supposed to see the dead raised. We're supposed to see the sick healed. We're supposed to do what Jesus did. We're supposed to see heaven operating on earth. That's what's redemptive. That's what's showing the world that, hey, this is temporary. There's something better. Abraham was waiting. He died never having received the promises, right, in Hebrews? But he knew from afar. He says, I don't have to get him here. I don't have to see myself, you know, doing all this wonderful stuff here because I know what's coming. So if God chooses to use me in glorious ways down here, or if I become a martyr, or if I, whatever He wants to use this sark sack for while I'm here, do it. I'm open, Lord. That's why hey, you want me to just lay this down and sweep floors for the rest of my life? If I know God, you've spoken that to my heart, I'll be as content and as whistling while I work. Some of you think, well, because you're not up at the pulpit or you're not doing up here on praise and worship or you're not in some big key area that you have no significance. Oh, my gosh. Well, you better find out what your significance is. It may be sitting in your closet hours through the day praying for those who are sweeping and singing. There's nobody that's insignificant in God's family. Ever. Or ever. So if we have the Holy Spirit on board, and if there's anything He cannot do through us if we yield to His instruction, is there anything that we can't do and He can't do through us if we yield? Don't tell me He can't raise the dead. Don't tell me He can't deliver those who are oppressed. And don't tell me that He can't heal the sick. We've already seen what He can do through Jesus. He lived for 33 years as an example of what the Father expects from us. So now, finally, isn't it time that we believe and receive all the benefits that have been given to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. For Jesus paid the ultimate price to make it possible for us to have a change in our identity and our abilities. Do you understand that?
Yes. Yes.
Our identity changes and our abilities change.
Yes.
Both change. God's DNA becomes part of you. And you get a whole new imperishable spirit that will be with him forever. And our bodies, well, you know, they are what they are. If the power of one word from the Lord's mouth can create a galaxy, don't you think his spirit living on us can do anything? Philippians 4:13, last few scriptures. I can do all things. How many things? All things through, better get that word in there, through him who strengthens me. John 14:12, love this one too. Truly, truly, I say to you, and truly, truly saying it twice means he really means this thing. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. That means that there are more of us now endowed with this power. Therefore, he's expecting a greater number of manifestations of this power. There's nothing greater than raising the dead. We're not going to do more miraculous things, in other words, more spectacular than Jesus did. But more of us are endowed with the Holy Spirit now. There's greater numbers of us to spread out the gospel over all the world. He told us to go out. Therefore, greater things are going to happen. More manifestations of his power. Not just the doctrine, not just reading, because a Jehovah Witness could come up, or a Mormon, or whoever could come up, and they can spout doctrine. And what's that non-believer supposed to do and believe? Who's to believe? How do you know you're right? How do I know he's right? How do I know he's right? Well, Jesus demonstrated it through the authority and power God gave him. And that's how we're supposed to be doing it too. I mean, obviously, you know, the word speaks for itself, and it's powerful, and it'll change a person when we quote it and we believe it and we're spouting it off. Don't get me wrong. It is a tool in our hands. But Jesus didn't just preach and teach. He was known because he did miracles and signs and wonders, but they all followed the Word of God. So this scripture, again, is powerful. One final observation today. For massive world revival, and I caught this one in this particular scripture, and it just ministered, and I'm going to close with it. For massive world revival, if we're going to want to change Landrum, we got to change us first. And then we can go into Landrum. And then we can go into the upstate. And then we can go into South Carolina. Yeah, that's where we are. Okay. And then we can go into the United States of America. And then we can go elsewhere. But if you can't minister in your own family and you want to be sent overseas to go minister to somebody else, you better start right there at home in your family first. Because too much is given, much is required. Okay? Massive world revival, this power must be taken out of the four walls of this church and launched in the marketplace. Mark 6:56. It's not my words, it's his. Wherever he entered villages or cities or countryside, he wasn't in those temples or stuff very long, was he? Right? Wherever he entered villages or cities or countryside, they were laying the sick. Listen to this. They were laying the sick in the marketplaces and imploring him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak. And as many as touched it were being cured. Wow. Wow. It seems as though it was outside the synagogues and churches where we observe most of the Lord's signs and wonders. We don't necessarily see them happening inside the church or a synagogue if you're Jewish. But where we saw most of Jesus' miracles and wonders and signs when he brought forth the word and he was out in the marketplace. We must pray and see if God wants to do something through us anytime, anywhere. Do not simply wait for an opportunity in church to be used. Follow the Spirit's leading. Jesus did, the disciples did, and so can we. I say go for it.